So good to see you here this morning. So good to see everybody online this morning. Good to be in the house of God, right? So we're in a new series, and Burton kicked it off last week. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, talking about God Himself, right? So let's bow our heads and let's commit this time to the Father. This time to hear the Word, believe the Word, receive the Word. Father, open up our minds and our hearts to receive today. Father, you want to give us truth, truth that sets us free, truth that liberates us so that we can be truly the people of God, the church, the called out ones here on earth. Lord, help us to combine this message with faith and obedience today in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. Our series is called Holy Spirit Revealed. Holy Spirit Revealed, and I'm going to focus in on Jesus, the Holy Spirit, being our helper. Holy Spirit, He is our incredible helper. Last week, Burton started off this series, and he spoke on who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does for us, and you quickly realize that we really can't do much without Him, without the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was given to us, and He has given us a supernatural supply of power. I say, in this life, you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision to either live this life and lead your life by your soul. What is your soul? Your soul is your mind, it's your will, it's your emotions. See, you have to make a decision to either lead your life by soul power or by the Holy Spirit. Right? Leon Fontaine said, the reason that God gave us a soul is so that we could manage our life, not lead it. That's exactly what the Bible says in Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Led by the Spirit of God. Listen, if we really want to live this new life that God said we could have, then we have to stop learning or stop to we have to learn to stop just making decisions by this reasoning, by reasoning alone. And I believe that God never intended us to use our human minds to make all the decisions. We need the leading of the Holy Spirit. And because so many of the decisions that we make, we can't make with just our human minds. We're spiritual beings. We need to make decisions that are beyond human comprehension. On your PowerPoint, God wants to reveal things to us by His Spirit in our spirit. You know, so many Christians, they look for direction, they make decisions apart from the Holy Spirit. You know, some Christians look for signs. They look for open doors, or they look for fleeces. Oh, that door is open. That must be God. I'm just going to, that's a sign. I'm just going to walk. I'm going to do that. I'm going to go this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go here because the door is open. Or some people will look for fleeces. Well, if God does this, well, then that means that's His will, so that's what I'm going to do. You know, some people even look at license plates for confirmations. You know, there's a license plate that said, go for it. And that Christian said, yeah, that's God's will. I'm going to go for it, you know. So, you know, We can look at all these, you know, and say, you know, that's a sign for God, but we've got to be careful, right? You know, our church comes from a charismatic background, and it used to be that if you wanted to know God's will for your life, you sought out a prophet. You looked for a prophetic word to guide you, you know, and all these same things that I've talked about here, I'm not saying that God can't use these ways. He can use these ways, right? But listen, He's given us Holy Spirit. That's what 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, Paul said, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His what? His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Listen, the Holy Spirit knows your entire future. If you're single, then He can show you who to get married to, right? If you're an investor, you're looking at a place to invest your money, He'll show you where to invest. If you're a parent, He'll show you how to pray for your child. If you're a businessman, he'll show you who to hire despite that person's credentials. See, the Holy Spirit can guide you in every area of your life. You know, it's great to have friends, to get their opinion, but we need to be asking Holy Spirit, don't we? You know, I believe that God gives us people from time to time who will give us words of wisdom, words of knowledge, give us a prophetic word. But I find that most of the time that these words are just confirmations, they're clarifications of what Holy Spirit has been speaking to us all along. You know, in the past, and this doesn't happen much now, but in the past, you know, somebody would come to me, someone would come to me and say, "Hey, Pastor, I got a word for you." And I listen to that word, and you know, that word would be just bang on. Say, "Yeah, that's a word from God." But listen, I want to tell you, most of the time, they were way off. They were way off. See, we need to hear from Holy Spirit for ourselves. I believe that we, as the body of Christ, we need to be much more aware. We need to go to a greater awareness where deep in our spirit that we're sensing Him. We're sensing Holy Spirit. Today, I want to talk about the incredible help from Holy Spirit. The Bible. I mean, don't you love the Bible? The Bible is a phenomenal book. You know, the Bible is the Christian's manual for life. It's our manual for life. And the Bible is not a rule book. It's not a rule book of do's and don'ts. The Bible is also God's love story. It's a story of what God will do to have His children to be with them. And not only to be with them, to be with them all the time. He wants to be Emmanuel, God with us. So right from the Word of God today, I want to make us much more aware of Holy Spirit. And the Word of God clearly reveals to us today that, first of all, number one, Holy Spirit, He's a person, and He wants to be personal to us in our lives. John 14, verse 16, Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. You will know Him because He will live with you now and later will be in you." Jesus is saying, Holy Spirit will not just be with you, but literally He will be in you. And he can't be more personal than that, can He? Right? Then Jesus told His disciples that it was better for Him to go, because if He didn't go, then He couldn't send Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 7. He says, "If I do not go away, if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you." Holy Spirit is our Helper. But He's not just Helper. He's our incredible Helper. And that's why today I want you to pay more attention to the Holy Spirit in your life. And that's why today I want you to start building a deeper relationship with Him. And if you want to develop a relationship with anyone, you know, you got to put some effort into it, don't you? And it's amazing to me that so few people put anything, practically anything, into developing this relationship, not just with God the Father, but and God and Jesus the Son, but the Holy Spirit, because He is God Himself, isn't He? So here, when we need to develop this personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, because here's what I believe. Without the Holy Spirit, you will never fulfill God's purpose on your life. God give you His Spirit to help you fulfill and to empower you to live the life that He's called you to live. Amen? And apart from Him, you can do nothing. That's what Jesus said. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. He is the Holy Spirit. He's personal, and He wants to be personal to us. In John chapter 4, Jesus talks about Holy Spirit. Jesus said in point 2, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will be a well and a river inside of you. John 4, verse 13. John chapter 4 is when Jesus was walking with His disciples, and they were traveling through Samaria. And He met this Samaritan. Remember, it was a hot day. They were dry, and they're thirsty, and they're hungry. And Jesus sat at this well, and there was a woman, Samaritan woman there. And he asked that woman for a drink of water, and she gave him a drink. And then he said to that woman, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. What's Jesus talking about here? He's talking about our salvation experience. And he says, you know, when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you really receive the Holy Spirit, you get a well. You get a built-in well inside of you. And this well is the Holy Spirit. It's the presence of God. And this water, whoever drinks it, Jesus said, will never thirst. Now that word well, the New King James Version says fountain. King James Version, New King James Version uses the word fountain. Now both fountain and well, they're for personal drinking and refreshing, right? You know, on a hot day, when you're really thirsty, the most refreshing thing that you can drink is a nice, cold, icy glass of water. And here in John chapter 4, Jesus describes this experience as a personal well inside of you that you can drink from anytime, and that you can live your life in a whole new way. You know, I find out most people, most Christians are well Christians. They just stop at the well. Now, then in John chapter 7, Jesus again talks about Holy Spirit. But this time, he talks about streams or rivers, and not just river, but plural, rivers of living water. John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last and the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. See, Jesus is talking about something totally different here, something different here in John chapter 7. There's a big difference. There's a big difference between rivers and a well, isn't there? Rivers, think about rivers. Rivers supply whole countries, whole cities and whole countries. They supply countries and cities with power, with irrigation, with transportation. Rivers sustain whole cities, countries, continents. Life is dependent upon rivers, right? Lethbridge is dependent upon a river, upon the Old Man River. If there was no river there, we wouldn't be here, right? You know, we are here in Lethbridge because a river runs through it. Rivers mean life. And here, salvation, Jesus talks about salvation. Salvation is where you first draw water from. But you know what I've noticed today? Many people even stop drawing from the well, and they lose their love for Jesus. They lose their joy. They lose their peace. You know, it's great for us as Christians to be able to continually draw out of this well. And that's what Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3 says. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. But listen, there's an experience that is second after salvation that is so important, so critical. You know what it's called? It's called rivers of living water experience. It's about rivers. It's about the power that flows out from within us, and it's the force of rivers. Ever seen a river at flood tide? I mean, it has incredible power. Here's a picture of High River, just one picture. You know, when the banks of High River burst, that water literally overflowed and it just swept things like cars, people, houses, trucks, and just swept it along. That was the power of just one river. But here Jesus is talking not just about one river. He's talking about the power of rivers flowing out of us and his people. If you're a believer, you have the potential to have these rivers flowing out of you. And this power, I say, it's not for destruction. It's not destructive power except to the enemy, right? See, your destination is not just to stay saved, drinking out of your own personal well. See, river, what are rivers for? Rivers are for blessing others. Rivers are always flowing out. rivers are to bless other people's. And Jesus was talking, when he went from talking just about wells to rivers, he's talking about a whole new level of living that we should be, you know, in this time. On your PowerPoint, again, your destiny is not to just stay saved. Amen? You're not just called just to stay saved. I say, don't teach your kids to just stay saved. You know, it doesn't work because they say that 80% of kids, after they graduate, will lose their faith. No, teach them. Teach them to be the devil's worst nightmare. Amen? Teach them to be filled with the Spirit. Equip them to be more than conquerors. You know, teach your kids their identity in Christ. You know, teach them to stand against the devil and go destroy something. Go destroy the devil's works. Amen? You know, we can find ourselves constantly living on the defensive. And so many Christians are doing that today, even today, constantly living on the defensive. I say the body of Christ, that most of the church is very skilled at the art of self-defense. Right? We're always living on the defensive, but nobody wants to live a life constantly on the defense. You know, the pastors, you know, a pastor came, you know, and he saw this guy. He talked to him before, and the guy told him his story. That he was going through a lot of problems. He says, "Yeah, you know, you had a bad day then, but how's your day today?" And the guy said, "Well, just waiting for another attack of the enemy." You know, and the pastor said, "Come on." He says, "What? Don't let the devil decide your day. Right? Fight." You know, what does the Bible say? When the devil comes at you, what are you supposed to do? Give up, withdraw, hide, you know, go to self. No. What do you say? Resist him! Resist him! Resist discouragement. Resist fear. Resist apathy in your life. Amen? You've been given power, so do something. Amen? You've been given dunamis power. You should be the devil's worst nightmare. Amen? Don't let the enemy decide your day. You know, one of my favorite actors is Kevin James. And I love this show, Here Comes the Boom. I've watched it two or three times. And it's all about, he's a school teacher, a high school teacher. And the school that he's at, they don't have a lot of money. And there's no money for the music department. So he decides to do something crazy. He wants to raise the money. He becomes a UFC fighter, and he teams up with the music teacher and an amateur fighter, and he ends up facing the UFC champion, and he is this guy's worst nightmare. Amen? You know, and that's such a good picture. You know, like, I can do something. I don't have to resign to the fact that I don't have enough or life is not good enough. I can do something with my life. God gives us the ability so much to determine what we do with our life. Amen? So much is, we don't leave it up to God. So much is up to us, isn't it? And that's such a good picture. I believe God is building a passion within us. The passion. He's created a passion in us to really live this life. No, I believe that He's created a passion for us, for man to go where no man has gone before, right? He's created a passion to want to see new places, to want to climb new mountains, to break old records, you know, and to do something with our life, to dream new dreams, to get a vision for your life, to take a risk and to live and to leave no regrets, no unfulfilled bucket lists, right? And I say this, it should be your God-given desire to be the enemy's worst nightmare. Amen? I say this, if you're serving God, if you're truly serving God, then there should be an element of adventure, some sort of risk in your life if you're truly being a Spirit-filled, born-again Christian. Amen? I don't know about you, and I said this before, but I hate COVID. I absolutely hate it. I hate the control of it. I hate everything about it because you know what it does? It stops me from living the life I want to live. It stops us from living and being the salt and light on this earth. And I want to live. I don't know about you, but I want to live. I want to go to Earl's and enjoy a fine meal out there. I want to fellowship with people. I want to connect with people. You know, I want to live. You know, I say this. Let's not be afraid of what's ahead and of what life has for us. Let's not be afraid. Let's look with faith and anticipation. Let's tackle every problem as it comes along. Life is not easy, but listen, God said it wouldn't be easy, right? In this life, you're going to have troubles. But He gave us everything that we need for life and godliness. Does that mean power to live this life? Absolutely, it means. So I say, you know, when you move from the well to rivers, all of a sudden, life will be an adventure. All of a sudden, life will be an adventure. I believe when we move from just being well Christians to river power Christians, we're going to see people's lives changed. We're going to see miracles take place. We're going to see people get healed through our hands, right? If we could just get a taste of it, I believe our life will never be the same. The disciples got a taste of it. They got a taste of it. And once they got a hold of it and they realized what they had, wow, they turned their world upside down. Number three, Jesus gave His disciples Holy Spirit just before He left this earth. John chapter 20, verse 21, again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So Jesus breathed on His disciples to receive the Holy Spirit. But they still were not released to go and do signs and wonders. So what's happening here? What's happening here is this. This is a transitional time. When Jesus is, something's taking place. Jesus is setting up His disciples for a powerful event. You know what it's called? It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the Acts chapter 1, verse 8 experience. When God releases His power, it's called dunamis power. Today we get that word what? Dynamite. The church, listen, the church was born by the power of the Holy Spirit. There would not be, we would not be here today had not that event had not happened. It started right back then, and it should be happening right now. There is power being released to His church. Point number four. Jesus said that He would give Holy Spirit to anyone who asked. Luke chapter 11, 13. "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" This gift, this power, is not for a select few. It's not for an elite group of people called to ministry. This is not for a special time. This is not for a limited time in history. It's not just for the past. It's for now. Jesus said, "For everyone who asks, receives." And how much more will the Father in heaven give Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit's power to those who ask Him? Amen? Let me clarify this. When you ask the Father for something, He'll never give you something wrong. He'll always give you what you ask for. Amen? If He gives it to you. And in this case, Jesus said, "I want to give it to you." When you ask for Holy Spirit, He's not going to give you something wrong. He's not going to give you something evil. He's not going to give you something weird. I say, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not weird. You know, this is sometimes why Christians get a bad reputation, because they become weird. You know, we do weird things. But Jesus said, when you get this, you'll become more like Me. I believe when you get the Holy Spirit, you become more like Jesus. And we are called to be more like Jesus. Amen? Jesus said, "If the natural fathers give good gifts to the children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the gift of His Holy Spirit?" You know, for me, when I received the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I noticed immediately the difference His power made in my life. You know, when I first came to Christ, I was so timid, I was so shy, I was so introverted, I was afraid of people. I mean, I was afraid of having a conversation. If somebody would invite me for a coffee to talk with me, I'd be afraid. I'd say, "No, I can't do that." I was scared because I had a fear of people. And if the conversation got a little bit deeper than just the surface things of life, it terrified me. You know, I had such a fear of man. But when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, almost immediately, this fear of man began to leave me. And all of a sudden, I was not afraid of people. You know, and what was God doing? He was preparing me. He was preparing me to be a people person. Amen? When you get the Holy Spirit, you become more like Jesus and you become a people person. You get a love for people. That's the most powerful thing that could happen to you. Point number five. Holy Spirit gives us power to witness to other people. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. Everywhere you go, you tell people when you go to Starbucks, when you're standing in a Tim's lineup, well, when you will be soon, or when you go to a restaurant, you tell your neighbors, you tell you the people that you work with, that, or you tell the people that you know at school. See, everywhere you go, telling people about me everywhere, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Early believers had river power. And I believe we need to learn this power. You know, we believers, we need to know that we have this well inside of us, don't we? We have this well inside of us. But we need to move on from the well to being filled with the power of God's Holy Spirit to be a witness for Christ. The number one reason why God gives us the power of the Holy Spirit is to be a witness. But not only just a witness with our words, there's more than that. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. Jesus said, "As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." Mark 16, 15. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Was that all he said? No, he went on to say this. "And," say with me, "and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well." See, we're talking about rivers of living water flowing out from within you to the benefit of other people. Jesus is talking about the benefit of the Holy Spirit. It's not just for yourself, right? He's talking about rivers flowing out to other people. God wants to do something dynamic in His church. You know, I believe the church needs a good waking up. We need to wake up to the power and the authority that God has given us. We're in a dry valley right now. Last week I shared about Ezekiel 37, and I shared that with some pastors by Zoom, and I know those pastors agreed. We're in a very tried time. Much of the body of Christ is like dry bones lying in a valley. And there's not a lot of life there. And then God spoke to that prophet and said, "Can those dry bones live?" But see, what? Even though they had flesh, and you know, they had bones and flesh and everything else, they were still without a lot of life until the breath was prophesied. And you know what the breath means? The power of the Holy Spirit. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that will cause the body of Christ to stand up on their feet and become a mighty army. Amen? We're in a dry time right now, and God wants to release His power on this earth. And God gives us power to witness, power to be, you know, a Jesus. You know, we're to be like Jesus on this earth. Everywhere where Jesus went, you know, he not only, what did He do? He went teaching and He went preaching. What else did He do? He went healing. You cannot take that part of the ministry away from Him. That's the finishing touch of His ministry. If Jesus just went teaching and preaching, all that happened in the gospel wouldn't have happened. When He started healing, when people saw dead bodies rise to life, when they saw blind eyes begin to see, deaf ears began to hear, when they saw the lame getting up and walking, people paid attention. See, it's not just... See, two things are happening in the scriptures. Two things need to happen. Both these passages command us to preach the gospel, right? But both also say that the declaration of the gospel is to be accompanied by displays and demonstrations of God's power. Amen? And that means healings, signs and wonders, and even the raising of the dead. This was not new to the disciples. They saw it every day then when they were with Jesus. And when Jesus left this earth and he filled with it with power, they saw a multiplications of signs and wonders and miracles that the Holy Spirit began to do to them. Amen? Jesus literally multiplied himself on the earth through his disciples. And that's what he wants to do today. He wants to live his life for us. John chapter 12, 14, 12, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You know, I believe in the laying on of hands. You know, I've been a Christian for over 30 years now, and I'm still believing for miracles for people. I still want to lay hands on people. I saw it happen in these are things that have happened in the past. I say, I need to see more of these things happen. I saw my mom. My mom had arthritis. You might have heard these stories, but I'm telling you again. My mom had arthritis so bad, she could not even tie up a shirt or lift a cup or stand up and walk. And we fasted and prayed for her. And one day, boom, God did a miracle. My sister phoned me up and says, Mom's standing up and walking around. She wants to go to the mall. No walker, no cane, nothing. She was totally healed. She was walking. She's a walking miracle. Mom was a walking miracle, right? I said, My son Jay, when we were raising, Jay was an adolescent, maybe what, 8 or 9, 10 years old, and he started developing these wicked headaches, like migraine, so bad. He'd be playing outside in the street, floor hockey, he'd come down, lay down, and he'd just be almost crying because the pain was so bad. He'd have to lie there until his temperature went down and the pain released. You know, we sent him to school, we gave him Tylenol, we told the teachers, listen, don't force him to go and play hard during recess because he gets these migraines. And so he'd have to go to the infirmary and lie down there for hours, you know. And so this went on, and we took him to a specialist and doctors, and doctors said, there's nothing we could do. Nothing we could do. In fact, the headaches are just going to get worse, and he'll have them right up to his 20s. And we said, no, there's got to be a solution. He cannot live his life this way. Amen? And so we heard about this evangelist. We took him to this evangelist. This evangelist from South Africa. And we saw he was, you know, so we thought, well, let's do it. Let's believe God. And literally, Jay went up on the stage and he went to the evangelist. And the evangelist asked him, so what do you want? What do you need in your life? He said, oh, I got these headaches. And he says, oh, okay. He says, well, be healed. Go on. Go. Enjoy life. And that was it. And so we went home. We drove back. And we drove into our cul-de-sac in Tabor, and all the kids were there playing floor hockey. What do you call it, floor hockey? And so, street hockey. And Jay said, I want to go. We said, well, go for it. So we parked the car. He ran into the garage, got his hockey stick. 2 or 3 hours, 2 hours later, he comes back in. You know, he's all red, not a headache. That was it. He was totally healed after that. Amen? I mean, we saw miracles, you know. My friend Dean, he had colitis. It was colitis so bad he couldn't. Celiac so bad. One time we went to Brooks and we were eating at this hotel restaurant, and he had to talk to the chef. He said, "I want to order these tacos, but there's no wheat in here at all. It's just pure corn, right?" And the guy said, "Yeah, it's good." Half an hour later, he was literally turned. You know, he was almost ready to. He was so sick. He got sick for about. And every time he did that, he got wheat into his system. He was sick for like 2 or 3 days. Well, one day, all of a sudden, you know, he's coming to get prayer, and the prophet told him, "You're already healed. You're healed." And then that was the end of it. He was totally healed. That night, he ate a big pizza. You know, God does miracles. Amen. God does miracles. God still heals today. You know, I believe in the laying out of hands, and I believe that Jesus still heals our physical bodies, but I also believe he heals broken hearts, and he heals people of deep wounds and hurts in their life, and I've been on the receiving end of that. You know, when we start first started pastoring, it was so hard. We were sent to Tabor, and we were just kind of dumped out there, and it was so hard. And the first 10 years were so hard, and we were so beaten up, and I was so hurt by people, and I was disappointed, and I was angry with God, and I just wanted to give up. And I ended up going to this meeting in Lethbridge here. And it was just full of pastors and leaders, and the guest speakers were David and Mary Pitches from the United Kingdom. They were powerful ministers. They were senior people. And I don't even know if they might even be with the Lord today. But I remember being at this meeting, and they were speaking. And at the end of that meeting, I remember David Pitches saying, "There are people that God wants to minister today. Holy Spirit wants to minister to people, to some people today. So come up to the front. Come and receive. You know, God wants to bring some healing in your life." And when we said that, I thought, man, and the Holy Spirit started to speak to me. I thought, man, I really need healing in my life. And so I'm just waiting. You know, the music's playing, and I just feel this drawing. The Holy Spirit's trying to get me to the front. I felt like I was steel, and God was magnet, and He was trying to pull me to the front. You know, and I wanted to go up, but I'm waiting for somebody to go up because I'm so shy. You know, I'm shy, you know, because I thought, you know, I thought, well, I'm going to wait till somebody comes up, but nobody's going up. So I just end up, I just find myself being up there. And I kneeled on the stairs in front of the stage there, and the Holy Spirit started to minister to my soul. You know, I realized I had so much hurt in my life. I had so much pain and had so much disappointment. And the Holy Spirit started to heal me, just heal me. And starts to minister to my soul. And I laid there for 3/4 of an hour, and I could not get up. And I remember one of the other ministers coming, just praying for me, and just praying and asking God to heal me. And you know, in that 3/4 of an hour, my nose was running. I was just weeping and crying, and my nose was running, and there was snot all over the place, and I was wiping it with my you know, And, you know, it was just the messiest time on the outside. But boy, God was healing my soul. You know, at the end of that 3/4 of an hour, I got up and I felt so light. And I felt like I was born again. Wow. The Holy Spirit ministers. He cares for us. Not only does He heal the body, He heals the human soul and the spirit. Amen? God is so powerful. I had a spirit-to-spirit encounter, and I walked away like I was born again. I believe that we're heading into times we're going to see a move of God in the Spirit come again. I think we're in such a dry time that we're going to see a move of God. And I'm praying, God, let it be in my time. Let it be soon. Because this, you know, we think what's happening right now with COVID, everything's about control, isn't it? It's all about keeping us confined, control, keeping us from being the people we're called to be. But I tell you, God is not controlled. God is up to something. And there is a move of the Spirit coming. And it's going to be, and I believe this move of God is going to result also in an incredible harvest of the lost and brought into the church. Amen? We're living in times where we can expect something great is going to happen. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not about being superstars. It's all about God. God reaching people, God loving people. Through you, through us. God wants us to reach people. You know, and God is looking for a people, I say, who are daring enough and caring enough to be used by God for His glory. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads, please. Father in heaven, thank you for gathering us here today. Thank you for Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence in our life and for the power to live this life. And I pray that these scriptures that we studied today, that these points that we studied today will sink deep within our subconscious, right deep into our soul and our spirit. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you begin to move us from being well Christians to being river power Christians. Father, I say, in Jesus' name, let your rivers flow. Let your rivers flow. Let them begin to flow out of our lives. Let them begin to flow out of this church In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen and amen. This is a scripture that came to me this morning, and I believe it's in Isaiah, might be in Isaiah. It's in the book of Isaiah, I think it's chapter 54, and it says that he, God, is going to come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. I believe that's a word today. I am waiting for a pent-up flood. It's just like with all that's happening in this world, there's a pent-upness. Like God is holding everything back. But God is like a flood, a powerful flood. And he's being pent up right now. But the gates of the Spirit are going to open. And we're going to see a move of God. Are you excited about that? Amen. I believe that 2021 is an awakening year when the presence of God wants to flow out of you. I want to say, I want to agree with the Lord at this moment. Can you say with me? It's time. It's time for me to move from the well to rivers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's move beyond being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, although that's good. But let's move beyond that. Let's begin to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's see what God will do. Let's take some risks. Amen? So when you're standing there and you're talking to someone, they've got a chronic illness, instead of saying, oh, that's too bad. I wish God would do. I'll pray. Why don't you just take a risk and say, I'm going to pray for you. Can I pray for you right now? I'm going to believe God to heal you right now. Why don't we do that? Why don't we see what God would do? Amen? Let's take some risks. Let's believe God that he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? I'm going to step out. I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to leave it all up to God. Because it's not up to me anyway. I'm just his vessel. But listen, if he brings somebody in front of you, he wants to use you. Step out in boldness. Take a risk. Amen? Amen. So here's what I want you to do. This week, read the book of Acts. Read about the acts of the Holy Spirit done through the apostle. It's not the acts of the apostle. It's acts of the Holy Spirit using people like you and I, the apostles. And then just read those and see what types of things that the Holy Spirit did through people. And then next week, we're going to pray. We're going to pray for people. If you haven't received the gift of the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the ability to speak in tongues, then we're going to pray for you. Or if you've received it, but you just need a fresh infusion of his power into your life, you know, we're going to do that. We're going to pray for you. But let's believe that God is going to awaken us to the power that wants to flow out of us. Amen? Through Jesus. Amen. Bow your heads once more. Father, I just want to pray for people here today. Maybe here, you're here or you're watching and you feel dry, you feel empty. Can I say this to you? What you need or who you need is Jesus. He is the well spring of life. And the Bible says, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. You know, today, you can get this well inside of you. You can receive the Holy Spirit and you can have joy like you've never had before. You pray this simple prayer, and you, I promise you will never be the same. If that's you, you want to receive Christ, pray with me right now. Dear Jesus, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. And I believe that you died on a cross to pay for my sins. And I also believe you rose from the grave. Today, Lord, I repent of my sins and I invite you in to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen.